So money is a touchy subject. And so go ahead. We're going to talk about giving this morning. And some of you all are thinking, wow, had I known that was going to be the topic this morning, I would have avoided the service at all costs. I would have actually gone to that other place with Reverend Sheets at Bedside Baptist and perhaps stayed in bed a little bit longer or gone out to Creation Sanctuary and been a part of that service. One of the things that we need to talk about is money. So go ahead and turn to the person next to you and say, he's going to go there. Yeah, he's going to go there. He's going to go there. And friends, there's good reason that we're going to go there, because whether a follower of Jesus or whether still trying to figure out a little bit more about who Jesus is, it's an important topic for all of us to discuss, regardless of where we stand on this journey with Jesus. Number one reason for divorce in America, finances. So it affects a great many of us. Also, if you were to take a poll of Americans, most of them would say they would be satisfied if they had just a little bit more to live on. And yet, we said that perhaps back when we had a little less, and we're still saying it if we had a little more. Also, a few weeks ago, we talked about how time is limited. And if time is limited, then we need to limit what we do with our time. Well, not so the case with money. Money is limited, but we don't have to limit what we do with money. Some of y'all are going, huh? And that's because we have learned about borrowing. We have learned about debt. No, this is not a political statement, okay, at this point. But some of us have bought into the lie that the standard of living equals quality of living. We've bought into that lie. Standard of living equals the quality of life. And the way that you raise the standard of living is often by debt, and the way that you raise quality of life is by discipline. And if given the choice between debt and discipline, many of us would rather choose debt. It's easier that way, isn't it? To then get the things that we long to afford, to help raise our standard of living that then we think would bring up our quality of life. But many times we find that the more things that we have, the more we have to manage. And rather than leading to the freedom and enjoyment that we think it will, it often leads to having to take care of it and to oversee it, and it becomes a little bit more binding than we thought. But Jesus knew all of this. He knew that we may never be satisfied with the things that we have, and he essentially was saying quality of life is so much more important than standard of living. And so 15% of everything Jesus said had to do with this topic. Isn't that an amazing statistic? 15% of everything Jesus had to say went along with this topic. He talked more about money than he did heaven and hell combined. Isn't that astounding? Because he knew that many times money can own us rather than us owning money. And he recognized also that there is a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we think about money and how we handle money, and that we just simply can't divorce, as much as we would like to, try to divorce faith and finances. But they, as God sees it, are inseparable. So today, I don't necessarily want to talk about money, but I want to talk about generosity. I want to talk about generosity and what happens when we give. Now, if you're like me, you like little things that help you pay attention while somebody's speaking. So every now and then, I'll put something in your bulletin, and this is one of those weeks. So feel free to pull out this blue insert. It talks about some of the scriptures we'll go over, and there's a little fill-in-the-blank for you, if those of you who like to fill-in-the-blank. And if you don't like that, then it'll just be a guide for you to know when I'm about done. And then you'll be very, very excited. So the first thing about what happens when we give is that when we give, we fulfill our purpose. That's the first blank to fill in. we fulfill our purpose. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you'll remember these verses as familiar as creation is happening. Then God said, let us make mankind in our what? Our image. In our what? Likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Then in verse 27 it says, so God created mankind in what? His own image. In the what? Image of God. Three times, in case we didn't get it. He created them, male and female, he created them. Spilling a lot of ink to help us recognize that you and I are created in the image of God. And that means a whole lot of things. But fundamentally, it means that the qualities that are in God are wrapped up into humanity. There's another passage that tells a little bit about God and God's nature, and that is John 3:16. It's a very famous verse. Many of you may be familiar with it. The reason I know it's a very famous verse is because it's the only verse I know that's held up in the end zone of football games. But it says, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So here we have the idea that we are made in God's image. And God is generous. So generous that he wouldn't spare anything for his children. He would even give his only son. That's how generous God is. So if God is generous and we are made in God's image, then there's a peace within you and I that's hardwired to be generous and starts to become alive when we live into that. So the first thing that I want us to know is that when we give, we fulfill our purpose, because there's something hardwired in our soul that says to be generous. And when we look at Christ, and if you have the opportunity, just read through one of the Gospels, whether it's Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, about three-fourths of the way through your Bible, then you'll start to recognize Jesus is so generous. So generous. And as we read through it, many times we'll want to give more and more and become more and more a giver as we long to be more like Jesus. Well, the flip side of that is true, that if you give long enough, you will start to look more and more like Jesus. Because Jesus, as the Son of God, is generous. And our giving is this reflexive response to the grace of God in our lives. It's kind of the overflow of joy. See, when we give, we fulfill our purpose. Well, the second thing, the second blank there, is that when we give, we make God smile. We make God smile. Now, many of us have the image of an angry God. Angry God who is out to gonna get you one way or another, gonna get you, right? You know, and that's our image of God. God is up there. He's got the lightning bolt ready, just, you know, and just gonna throw it down. Well, there's a completely different image of God. But God as Heavenly Father, and perhaps you may have had good or bad experience with Father, but this Father is perfect. This Father is loving. This Father is holy. And this Father dearly and deeply loves his children. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says that see what great what love the Father has what? Lavished on us, that we should be called what? Children of God. Friends, that is God. And we've said it before, he delights over you as his children. Right? As a father delights over his children, he delights over you. You are a wonderful, one of a kind, unrepeatable masterpiece of God, dearly and deeply loved. God, your Heavenly Father, loves you more than you can imagine. He is not out to get you. He's out to love you. And so I love my kids, and I love to give my kids gifts. Sometimes I love to just surprise them with a gift that they don't expect. They have no idea this is coming. And when it happens, it's just like, ah, yeah, and I just enjoy watching their reaction, you know? And there's sometimes I know that Benjamin and Zoe, they have wanted something for a long time, right? And there comes an opportunity for me to be able to give it to them. And they didn't expect it was coming, but then we're able to give it to them and then just watch them just explode with joy, you know? Oh, I love that. But what I love even more is when I see my kids share, when I see my kids take those gifts that they've been given and they have friends over and they say, come, you know, let's play with this. Or you take a turn and then I'll take a turn. And they share it with the others that they're playing with instead of mine, mine, mine. I mean, isn't that a record you want to stop, you know? And I love it when my kids share. And isn't it true that God would delight over his children? And the more that he sees his children share what he's entrusted into their care, it just makes him smile. It just makes him smile. So when we give, we make God smile. And third, when we give, we gain perspective. We gain perspective. Think about missionaries for a moment. Maybe it's a missionary that's gone down the street. Maybe it's a missionary that's gone into Richmond. Maybe a mission that's gone a trip to an international country. Most often when somebody has, you know, taken the time to earn the resources to go on that trip or to complete that project or build that relationship, they've saved, they've spent time and energy, they've given of themselves. When we come back, most often I hear, wow, that just was an indescribable trip. You know, it was awesome. It was life-changing. I'll never be the same. That's often what I hear. What I don't often hear is, wow, really wish I had saved all that money and just downloaded more movies, you know. Or, wow, wish I had saved that money and then just bought more furniture. Or, you know, what we often hear is how life-changing it was and how it has changed their perspective of, as they've given of their time, they've given of their efforts, their energy and resources. And so many times, sometimes we have buyer's remorse, right? We regret what we buy, but we don't often regret what we give. Too many times we regret what we buy, but we don't often regret what we give. Now, spending money can be fun. Don't get me wrong, right? Don't get me wrong. Spending money can be fun. Jesus is trying to help us understand the idea that it doesn't satisfy. And if we're looking for satisfaction, then that's not the way. Because we also know that when we give, there's something about us that just recognizes, hey, that was really important. And boy, did that feel good. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus is telling this story and he says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and what? Vermin. Yeah, vermin. Don't you love that? I mean, one of the only places you get to say that word, vermin. But some other translations say rust, you know, destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. And then verse 20 goes on, but store up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. Man, friends, that is awesome. I wish we could spend so much more time on this passage, but the point is, money isn't a financial issue. Money is a spiritual issue. And so Jesus is trying to give us some of the ultimate insider trading tip. Are you ready? Insider trading tip here, that earth's currency is going to be worthless. It's going to be worthless, and at some point, it's going to be worthless, whether that's when Christ returns or we pass on. You all know at some point we're going to pass on, right? I mean, there's still a 100% mortality rate around, and it affects all of us. So hopefully I didn't surprise anybody with that, you know, new late breaking news. But it's going to happen, and Jesus says that, you know what? It's time to switch investment vehicles. Okay? It's time to switch some of your investment vehicles and start to transfer funds from earth to heaven. And start that process now, Jesus says, because it's going to be backed by the FDIC. the Father's Deposit Insurance Corporation. Okay, anyway. But Jesus is essentially saying, don't stockpile Confederate currency. Okay? Many of us know that the Confederate war is over, right? And imagine being in that war, and at some point you had invested, and you were in the South, and you were from the North, and you had invested in the Southern currency there, and now you're starting to see the tide change of the war. And the war is coming to a close. It's coming to an end. You're going to take that Confederate currency, and you are going to trade it in, right, for U.S. currency, for the side that you know is going to be on top and win. And the same Jesus is saying is true for us. It's time to start switching our investment vehicle and transfer funds from earth up to heaven. And our hearts and our money are connected, friends. And you can tell what's important in our lives by what we give to. Giving makes this statement. It says, you know what? That matters, right? You could take a look at my bank account, you know, the debits and withdrawals. You could take a look at the things that I spend money and time on, and you would recognize, you know what? That's important to Mike. Giving money and effort and energy in that direction, that deserves my attention. That deserves my focus. That deserves my support. And if we give to a certain area, that's where our heart goes. Let's just take a regular principle. If we decided to invest in GM, this is not insider idea, okay? Don't know anything that's happening. But if you were to invest in GM, isn't it true that we would start to watch what's happening with GM, right? We would be watching the stocks kind of on a regular basis. If an article came across in the paper about what's happening to GM, we would pay attention, we would be alert, we would be aware, because where our treasure is, our heart is going after that. And Jesus says, you want to know how to broaden your heart? You want to know how to grow in compassion? Then start investing in the things of God, and your heart will grow several sizes, because then you'll be thinking about those things all the time. So if it happens to be an orphanage in India, and you are just aware of what's happening at that orphanage in India more and more often because you have an investment in that orphanage. Or if it's starting a church in Russia, or if it's you pick the ministry area, you pick where God is at work, whatever it is, that's where our heart tends to go. And friends, that's a powerful principle, to start stockpiling in heaven those blessings. Randy Alcorn in his book talks about how, in his book, The Treasure Principle, recognizes that we can't store it up on earth, but we can send it ahead. And I thought I'd come up with just some dumb, silly little phrase that you won't ever remember, but that at least make you laugh. So I came up with, well, if we give it up instead of trying to keep up, it'll show up when we go up. Okay? You know, we came into this world with nothing. We're going to go out of the world with nothing. So if we give it up instead of trying to keep up, then when we go up, maybe it'll show up, okay? He said it so much more eloquently, but, you know, it wasn't going to make you laugh, so I changed it. But anyway, Jesus is trying to talk about a present joy that we can have in our hearts. Just if you have given anything to anyone at any time, and it is just giving you joy, just nod, you know? I mean, you know, it just feels good. It connects with that little piece of the image of God in you when you give. And yet when you give, you are not only experiencing that present joy, you are talking about a future reward, Jesus says, that's coming for you. And friends, the cost-benefit ratio of changing that perspective from earthly to heavenly, the cost-benefit ratio is truly out of this world. Wonderful investment, because eternity matters. And when you give, you're shifting your perspective. A few months ago, I was blessed by Financial Peace here. It was a group that kind of was talking about finances and trying to get free from some things and just learning some great principles for life. And I was thankful that Chris Feuerbach brought it back to New Life at this time. And going through that course, many said it was just a wonderful, wonderful help to them. And I remember one time following one of the groups, Kirk Cooper caught me in the hallway and just had this great story to share. And I thought, you know what, other folks need to hear this story. So I wanted to ask Kurt to share a little bit of that story that he shared with me in that hallway. So here you get a bloop, a little window into that hallway discussion.
Thanks, Mike. It was just a few months ago I had the blessing to attend Financial Peace University. It's a course that's put together by a guy named Dave Ramsey, had some great folks in the class, and some really cool things happened. I can only give you like the tip, very tip of the iceberg about the class. Just one of the great things that happened was when many people in the class put the principles to work. They put God's principles to work, and we just didn't talk about it. We did it. Incredible things, bordering on miraculous things happened. In just a few weeks, literally scores of credit cards were put to bed and cut up. Tens of thousands of dollars in debt was retired in just in a few weeks. We budgeted. We planned. We gave to God, we reduced, and some in the class even eliminated all of their debt in that short period. There are others of us and in this room that are working on it, and they're just weeks or months away from all their debt being retired. And it was really through God's grace, but by putting into practice his principles about money. One truth that became even stronger with me was this truth that everything I have is a gift from God, and he makes me a manager. In the church, we sometimes call that a steward. And good stewards, faithful stewards, budget, they plan, they give, and they direct money and other resources to where it's important. We learned how to decide where money is going to go instead of trying to figure out where it went. And I'll repeat that because it was one of those important things I had to get. And that's we helped to learn how to decide where money was going to go instead of figuring out where it went. When we do that, when we do all of those things that I describe a steward to be, then I believe God gives us abundant resources to share. It's like a money manager that you may have entrusted with some of your money. If he gives you really bad returns, are you going to give him more? If he gives you great returns, are you going to give him some more to manage? I can't say it was easy doing all the planning and getting back on a budget. Tracy, my wife, can attest to that. There were spirited discussions about budgets. There were tears, but I quit crying pretty quick. But I can tell you that after tithes and gifts, God has now found additional resources for us to share, and we get to experience that joy of dreaming about ways to bless others and just reacting to his nudges on any given day. We even now have a line item in our budget just for that purpose. Thanks.
So it's true that when we give, we change we gain perspective from an earthly perspective to a heavenly perspective. And finally, when we give, we partner with God. God doesn't need your money. Now, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm really not. But in Psalm 24, verse 1, it has this to say. The earth is whose? The Lord's. And what? Everything in it. in the world and all who live in it. It's all God's. God doesn't need your money. He knows the hairs on your head, so he certainly knows your password for your online account, okay? So he could take it if he wants. But God doesn't need our money, and he doesn't need us. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, but he does want us, and he invites us to participate with him. When we give to God, we're joining in his worldwide movement. This movement that's not just happening in North America, this movement that's happening in South America, Latin America, it's happening in Europe and Asia and Africa and all around the globe. We are a part of something far bigger when we give of what God's doing everywhere. And so I want to say a big word of thank you. Every year when we kind of pull this together over the past several years, it feels a little bit like Christmas to me. I get a little giddy, I admit it, because this talks about all of the ministry we have been able to be a part of over the past year. It's through your generosity that all of these things have happened. And I love that we celebrate that. And it's wonderful. It also reminds me that we may have, in order to help these things happen, we may have lowered our standard of living. But friends, when I look at that, I recognize, wow, we have raised our quality of life. And I believe most of you who have generously given to the ministries of the church would agree with me that when we see lives being transformed, man, the quality of life just, it goes far up. And I want to say a word about our 2014. Our mission emphasis is going to be ministry with those who are in prison. And just one of our emphasis of our entire ministry will be that ministering to those who are in prison, recognizing that those who are in prison, some of them are literally behind literal bars. But others find themselves shackled by habits or hang-ups or addictions. Still other times, people find themselves absolutely alone and unable to be free from their scenario. There are some in elder care that we would want to be paying attention to. There is trafficking all over our globe, second greatest moneymaker in the world. And so we want to start paying attention to some of these things and emphasize it because we live in a world that is unjust. And we don't want to sit on the sidelines and allow it just to continue to happen. We want to do something about it and to make a difference. And so when we give, we partner with God. And we take what God has given us, God's resources, and apply them to God's purposes. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for fulfilling your purpose. Thank you for making God smile. Thank you for changing your perspective to an eternal perspective. And thank you for participating with God and what God wants to do in the world and bring a little bit more of heaven on earth. Thank you. Together, I believe we can make a difference. 1 Timothy, the last verses that were read from that passage earlier, verse 18 says, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way," let's replace "they" with "we." "In this way, we will lay up treasure for ourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that we may take hold of," read this last part with me, "the life that is truly life." The life that is truly life is found in helping that quality of God become evident in us, his generosity. He displayed it for us so much, but especially through the gift of his son Jesus. There can be no greater picture of God's amazing love for us than that picture of Jesus giving his life for us.